Tonight's shiur is on Megillas Rus. It's a little bit of background to Megillas Rus, and it's in preparation for Shavuos, where we read Megillas Rus. And the title of the shiur should be The Validity of Rus's Marriage. Originally it was conversion, but it should read The Validity of Rus's Marriage. So tonight we're going to look at some background gemaras and information on the nature of Rus's ability to get married into Klal Yisrael. And there's a lot of interesting ideas here. And hopefully with the shiur, we'll have a little bit of background knowledge about Rus herself and be able to appreciate the book Megillas Rus on a deeper level. So if we look at the Gemara, we're just going to do a little bit of Gemara first, and then we'll look at some Chumash and some Rishonim. So the first source is in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, and it's a Mishnah in Yevamos. And the Mishnah says as follows, source number one, Amoni Umoavi Asurim V'Isuran Isur Olam, Aval nekevo sehem mutaros miyad. So a man who's from Ammon and Moab, the two nations, one nation of Ammon and the other nation of Moab, are usher to marry even after they convert. It's usher, it's prohibited from them to marry a Jewish woman even after they convert. However, the women, the female Ammonis and Moabis, so they're allowed to get married right away. So the difference is, the Mishnah tells us that men who come from Ammon and Moab can never, Isser Olam, it's forever, they're always prohibited from marrying into Klal Yisrael, whereas the women from Ammon and Moab, once they converted, were allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So that's obviously relevant, because Rus was from Moab, but we're going to look at the Gemara, and the Gemara has an interesting story slash idea as to why we might think that David was not, who came from Rus, and Rus herself, her marriage was invalidated. So look at source number two. The Gemara explains like as follows. So there's a whole back and forth between Shaul, Avner, and Doeg HaDomi, which were Shaul, King Shaul, and his advisors. And they were talking about David himself in the Psukim. And the Gemara takes it up from this point. Amrle Doeg HaDomi. So Doeg HaDomi said to Shaul, Ad sha'ata mashil olav im hagun hu l'malchus im lov, Shaul Olav Imroi Lovo Bakal Imlo or Imlav. So before you start asking if David is really able and really capable of being a king, you should ask a more basic question, which is David even allowed to marry a Jewish woman? Is he even allowed to be part of Klal Yisrael? So Doeg HaDomi, he's questioning David's validity in terms of his ability to be part of Klal Yisrael, which is a big statement from Doeg HaDomi to Shaul. So what's the reason? My time. Why would you say that David would not be valid to marry into Klal Yisrael? Deka'asi mirus hamoaviyah. The reason is because he came from Rus. So at this point in the Gemara's assumption is that a woman who's from Moab and also Ammon as well, so they're not able to marry into Klal Yisrael, and their descendants from them are also not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. And that's the assumption, therefore David would be invalidated, there would be a psul, a pagam in David. So Amrle Avner, so what's the answer? Avner said, Tanina, we learned in a brisa, and our Mishnah says the same, Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. The Torah says Amoni, and which means a man from Ammon, and not a woman from Ammon. And it also says Moavi, and not a woman from Moavi. So the Gemara gives an easy answer. The answer is that a woman is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, and all of her descendants are considered Jewish and allowed to marry, whereas a man that came from Moav is not. So therefore, David is not invalidated as a melech and being part of Klal Yisrael because he came from Rus, who was a woman who was part of Moab, and she converted and she married. So then the Gemara goes on. So that would simply, you'd simply say, okay, the Gemara answers the question. So Doeg was very smart. He says, El ma'ata mamzer v'lo mamzeres. So Doeg was very intelligent, and he said, if you use the logic of amoni v'lo amonis, if you use that logic, that because the Torah says it in a male form and not a female form, then I should say by a mamzer, by a child of an illegitimate relationship, a mamzer also should not be allowed to marry, but not a mamzeres. However, the halacha is not that way. We do know that a mamzeres is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So if you're going to use the Torah to prove it, the Torah is inconsistent, because by a mamzer, the Torah uses male language, but we know that a mamzeres is equally excluded from marrying into Klal Yisrael. So that was a great question. Doeg HaDomi asked a really good question. So the answer is mamzer ksiv mumzar. So we're just going to read through this Gemara because I think it's important, and then we'll ask the questions and try to get a deeper idea. So the answer is mamzer ksiv mumzar. So by a mamzer, the word mamzer means a foreign mum, a foreign blemish. So it's not exclusive to a man or a woman. The word mamzer isn't a zachar. It's simply the idea of a mumzar. So any individual, whether it's a man or a woman, who has this type of blemish is excluded from marrying into Klal Yisrael. So fine, they took care of Doeg's first question. So Doeg was very persistent as well, very intelligent, and he's trying to invalidate David. So he says, Mitzri v'lo Mitzris. But then you have another question, because it says by Mitzri, that only after three generations are they allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So you should say that only applies to a man and not a woman, but we know that it applies to both. It's the same question as a mamzer. So finally we get to a real answer here. So what's the answer? So it says Shiny Hacha, so it's different over here. By Amod and Moav, by Rus, the case of Rus and David, it's a different case. Why? Because the Mefarish time of the Krah, because the Pasuk tells us the reason why a person from Amon and Moav, a man from Amon and Moav, is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Why? Because it says, Alasher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. Because when the Jews were traveling, we're going to see later on, but when the Jews were traveling by Amon, and we'll see by Moav, we're going to learn about that. So there was an expectation that they would help them out, that the Jews would buy lechem and maim, they would buy bread and water from Amon and Moav in order to survive, but they weren't going to attack them or anything like that. And Amon, and we'll see Moav did something else, but Amon decided to not help the Jews out. And as a result, we don't allow them, even after they convert, to marry into Klal Yisrael. So then the Gemara explains, Darcho shel ish lekadem below Darcho shel isha lekadem. So it's the way of a man to go first, but it's not the way of a woman to go first. So the first answer of the Gemara is that the men of Ammon and Moab were punished, or because of this chait, this sin that they demonstrated, they therefore are never ever allowed to marry a Jewish woman, a Jewish girl. Whereas the women, they didn't have the same flaw, that there was no expectation that they go out and bring water and bread to the people, because it's not the nature, it's not the woman's nature. That's what the Gemara says at this point. And therefore, women like Rus, who came from Ammon and Moab, are allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So that's an interesting... So the question that we're going to raise on this Gemara is, why is that the reason, or what relevance or significance is that in terms of them not being able to marry a Jewish girl? Why should it be that because Ammon and Moab, a long, long time ago, decided not to help the Jews out, why is that a reason that forever afterwards, even if one of them wants to convert, we don't allow them to marry a Jewish girl? Why? It seems kind of strange. Are we punishing them for what they did? What's the reason why they can't convert? Okay? And then furthermore, what's the real difference between a man and a woman? The Gemara explains that the woman didn't have this flaw, but they're still part of the nation, so why are they excluded from this prohibition of marrying a Jewish, why are they allowed to marry a Jewish man, but an Ammon and Moab is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl? So it says, it goes on, the Gemara says, Hayalahem lekadim anashim lekras anashim, v'nashim lekras anashim. So Doeg says, he asks a knockout question, it's a knockout. He says, yeah, but I'll ask you this, the men should have gone out to greet the men, meaning the men of Moab and Ammon should have gone out to greet the men, and the women of Ammon and Moab, we're going to just limit it to Ammon at this point, should have gone out to greet the woman. So it's fine. So a man doesn't go first, and a woman doesn't go first, but they still should have gone out to help the women out. So the answer was Ishtik. So he caught them, and they couldn't answer his question. So Doeg was such a smart and persistent guy that he really wanted to invalidate David and try to show that the Torah invalidates him. And he demonstrated through logic that the Torah is inconsistent and the Torah really doesn't make sense in this area. Why should there be a difference between a woman and a man by Moav and Ammon, that a man's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl once he converts, but a woman is allowed to marry a Jewish man? So this is a big problem because, you know, we know that David was the Melech and we know that he was allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So how do we answer this problem? How does the Gemara get out of it? So the Gemara has a little story here. Miyad vayomer hamelech shal ata ben mizeh ha'elam. So the melech Shaul, he asked and he said, who is this young person? We're referencing David. But ha'olam hasam kari le nar hacha kari le olam. But the pasuk before, he calls David a nar, you know, a youth. But here he uses a different term, olam. So what do you mean? He says hachi ka'omar le. This is what he was saying to Avner. Halacha nis'alma memcha. The halacha has been lost from you. Tse v'sha'al b'beis ha-medrash. So let's go out to the beis ha-medrash and find out what the halacha is. Is the halacha that only a man is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman and a woman is, or is it that both are not allowed to? So Avner goes to the beis medrash Shaul, and he asks the same question. Amrulei Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. They said the same thing, the same answer, that the Torah says Amoni and it says Moavi, meaning only men, but women are allowed. Okay, so then the Gemara goes on. Akshi luhu doei kol hani kushyasa. Doei was there and he asked all of the kashas, the same kashas, the same questions he asked before. Ishtiku, nobody can answer his questions, so he caught them. He was about to invalidate David, and he was going to make a big statement that David cannot marry into the Jewish nation because his foremother, his original ancestor was Rus, and she was not allowed to get married. So what happened? Miyad, immediately, V'amasa ben ish u'shmo yisra ha-yisraeli asher ba el avigal bas nachash u'chsiv yisra ha-yishmaeli. So there's a pasuk in those psukim by Shaul, which references Amasa, the son of Yisra ha-Yisraeli. But there's another pasuk where he's called the son of Yeser ha-Yishmaeli. So why is he called a Yishmaeli and not a Yisraeli? So Amarava malamit shechagar charbo ki Yishmael. So what Amasa did was that he girded his sword like an Ishmaelite, a Yishmael va'amar, and he said, kol mi she'eno shomei halacha zu yidkar b'cherev. If anybody doesn't accept this halacha, that only a man is not allowed to marry, but a woman is going to get a sword in his, you know, stuck into him, stabbed with a sword. Kach mikublani mibeisino shel Shmuel haramasi amoni v'lo amonis mo'avi v'lo mo'avis. This is the Mesorah that I have, the tradition that I have, that it's only a man that can marry a Jewish woman, but a female Moav and Amonis is allowed to. Okay, so we're almost finished with the Gemara. I just skipped down two lines. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha. So we're two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, nevertheless, there's a question. You have all of Doeg Hadomi's questions, so how do you answer them? So Hachla Tirgumu. So the answer is, this is the answer they gave in Bavel. Kol Kvoda Bas Melech Panima. So one answer is that it's the nature of a princess to stay inwards. So the Gemara's explanation is there's a famous principle that women, righteous women, their tendency is to remain inward and not to be public. And therefore, and also it says b'ma'arava amri, in the West they said v'itamer of Yitzchak. Some say in the name of Yitzchak amar kra vayomre elav ayesara yishtecha. They said to Avraham, the Malachim said, where is Sarah? And Sarah was in the Ohel. So we see that from Sarah, or also from the idea of kol kvoda bas melech panima, that there's an idea that women in general are not supposed to be, they're supposed to be more modest and more, I would say, insular, and there's a perfection to that. And it seems like the women of Moab, I think this is what the Gemara is saying, pshat, the women of Moab possess that. The Maharsha is a different idea, but I think that's what it's saying. So let me just explain the Gemara, and I'll ask the questions again, and then we'll try to get some idea as to what's going on, and like I said before, hopefully understand Megillas Rus and Rus herself. So the question on the Gemara, the questions on this Gemara in Yevamos are as follows. There's really, I would say, two or three questions. One question is that the reason given for men not being able to marry a Jewish woman once they convert, but women being allowed to, is because of the idea that they didn't go out to help the Jews when the Jews needed water and lechem. So the question is, A, why was that so bad that they're not allowed to? We'll see from the Psukim that Mitzrayim are allowed to convert, and they were worse. So why is that so bad that they're never allowed to marry into the Jewish nation? And what is the real difference between the woman and the man? It seems kind of strange because the woman, I think Pasha Pshat of the Gemara is that the woman possessed, you know, a modesty, but the men didn't. So for some reason, we differentiate in terms of this halacha. But why is that the case? Why don't we just say that they're all part of the nation of Ammon and Moab, and therefore they all can't marry into the Jewish people? And finally, what's the problem with them marrying into the Jewish people once they convert and they accept Judaism? So why can't they just be part of Klal Yisrael? What's the defect that they possess that makes it impossible for them to be part of the nation? Okay, so those are all the questions. So let's just look at the Psukim a little bit, and we'll just explain the Gemara, and then we'll try to give some insight. So the Psukim over here in Devarim also show us something interesting. Look in Devarim Perek Chav Gimel, and the Gemara goes through many cases where there's different types of individuals who can't, even if they convert or they're, you know, they're technically part of Klal Yisrael, they can't marry into Klal Yisrael. So if you look in Dvarim Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Gimel, it says Lo Yavo Mamzer Bikal Hashem Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavo Lo Bikal Hashem. So a mamzer, and we said that includes a woman as well, a child of an illegitimate relationship, is not allowed to ever, even if they are part of Klal Yisrael, they can't marry a regular Jew or a Jewess. So look at Dalet. Lo yavo amoni umoavi bekal Hashem. So an Amon and a Moav, a Moabite and an Ammonite, bekal cannot come to bekal Hashem, cannot be part of Kal Hashem. Gam dor asiri lo yavo lahem bekal Hashem ad olam. They can never, like we said before, they can never ever marry into Klal Yisrael and be part of the Jewish nation. Why? Look in Hey, al devar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech betzeischem imitzrayim va'asher sachar alecha es bilam ben ba'or mipisor aram naharayim l'kal alecha. So what's the reason why? Because, the reason is because they didn't go out with lechem and mayim when the Jews left Egypt, so they didn't help the Jews out, and also because they hired Bilam ben Ba'or in order to curse them. And Rashi says, what does it mean to curse them? It means that they hired Bilam in order to give the advice which caused the Jews to die in Midian. It caused them, Bilam gave advice to the Midianites that the way to destroy the Jews was to entice them to be involved in Gilui Arayos. And because Moav hired Bilam, therefore they're being punished and they're not allowed to. It seems like it's a strange punishment, but they're never ever, for all generations, even 1,000 years after, they can't marry into the Jewish people. So the question is, why is that? So there's now this is even stranger, because the Gemara said that the reason why they couldn't, the reason why Rus and the Moavis were allowed to convert or marry into the Jewish people was because of the fact that they stayed home and the men didn't go out and the men were really at fault. But the Torah tells us that it was a different reason. It was because of the fact that they hired Bilam. So which one is, what's the reason? What's the exact reason for why we don't allow these people to marry into the Jewish nation? So that's the question. So we're going to answer that. And then, so if you look at the Ritva in source number 4 explains based on Tosvos. He says like this in source number 4. If anybody has any questions, please tell me to stop, or if you want me to summarize again, let me just stop here to summarize because I think it's important to clarify. So again, we learn this Gemara, and it's based on, and it's very important in terms of learning about Rus. And the question was, is David really allowed to marry a Jewish woman because he came from Rus? And the Gemara explains that a woman that came from Ammon and Moav is allowed to marry into the Jewish nation once they convert, whereas a man isn't. And we said the reason is because the Gemara says it's because they didn't go out to help the Jews with Lechem and Mayim, whereas the women, they weren't expected to go out, and they weren't at fault. But now when you look in the Psukim, so we wanted to know why that flaw was so bad. Why is it that they can never, ever marry into the Jewish nation? What was so bad about that? But furthermore, the Psukim, seemed to indicate that there were two problems. One is that they didn't go out with Lechem and Mayim, and the other problem was that they hired Bilam to give advice in order to cause the Jews to stumble. Moav hired Bilam. So what exactly is going on here? So the Ritva explains like this. Look in source number 4. Ish darchol lekadem v'isha ein darchol lekadem. So he says hiksha b'tosos. So Tosos asks the question. Demash mahacha umin amikra hazeh. It implies from the Gemara. If you just read the Gemara without the Psukim, and from the Psukim that it's quoted in the Gemara, ki amuavim lo kidmu liyisrael b'lechem u'mayim, that the Moavim were responsible for not helping the Jews out with lechem and mayim. V'ilu b'mishnah Torah k'siv ochel b'kesev tashbireni v'achalti u'mayim b'kesev titen li v'shasizi kasher asu li b'nei Esav hayoshim b'seir v'hamoavim hayoshim b'ar. But the problem is that the Torah says openly that the Moavim did provide water and lechem to the Jews. So the Torah contradicts itself. So v'tirate, so his answer is ki amikra litzdadim k'siv. So there's two reasons. Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem al devar asher lo kidmu eschem Ammoni b'lechem v'mayim. So one reason is because of the Ammonim. So the Ammonim, the Ammonites, the reason why they're excluded is because they didn't help the Jews out with water and lechem. V'asher sachru alecha Moavim as Bilam ben Beor, but the Moavim were the ones who hired Bilam. D'hav vaday lo Ammonim sachru as Bilam, because the Ammonim did not hire Bilam. Ela korchach litzdadim k'sivkra. So the Torah is telling you, the Psukim is telling you to split it up. that Ammon is not allowed to join Klal Yisrael because they didn't help the Jews out with water and Mayim, and Lechem. And Moab, the reason why they're not allowed to is because of the fact that they hired Bilam. What about the Gemara? It says the reason why that women were excluded from this prohibition is because it's not their nature to go first. So the Gemara explains, the Rif explains, so it's teaching you an extra idea, but even more so, a woman is not expected to do hiring, to hire Bilam ben Baor, so she was not involved in that. So the Gemara is equating. So the Gemara leaves out the flaw of Moav. The real flaw of Moav was that they hired Bilam ben Baor, and the Gemara leaves it out. But the Gemara seems to say that in both cases, the women weren't involved in the hiring of Bilam, nor were they involved in not helping the Jews out with Lechem and Mayim. And that's why they're excluded from this prohibition. But what's the relationship? Again, the question is, what's the relationship between these two flaws, between not helping the Jews out and hiring Bilam? Because for both these reasons, these nations were excluded from entering and from marrying Jews and Jewesses. So the question, for both these reasons, they were excluded from marrying Jewish women. So the question is, what's the relationship between not helping the Jews out with Lechem and Mayim and hiring Bilam and Ben Baor? They seem to be two different problems, two different issues. Okay? All right. So now we're going to get to some philosophy. So hopefully this will open up the area and we'll try to answer the Gemara as well. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, great. So let's go to Rashi. Rashi says like this, interesting point. We have to explain it. So Rashi explains, Banim asher yuvaldu lahem dor shlishi, in source number 5. So that's a reference to the Mitzrayim, that we say that the Mitzrayim are allowed to convert and marry, whereas the Ammonim and Moavim were not. So Rashi says, Ushara umos mutarn miyad, all other nations other than these were allowed to convert and marry right away. So if you have somebody that comes from any nation, any old nation, they're allowed to convert and marry right away. Halamata, what do we learn from this? Shamachti la'adam kashalo minahorgo, that a person who causes people to sin is worse than a person who actually kills another person. Why? Shahorgo horgo bo'olamazeh, because one who kills him in this world. But one who causes that person to sin takes him away from this world and the next world. Therefore, Edom shekidmon bacherev lo nesai, v'chein Mitzrayim shetivum. Therefore, Edom, from Esav, who tried to destroy the Jews, we're obligated not to despise them and allow them to marry. Even the Mitzrayim, who caused the Jews, who killed Jews, we don't prohibit them from marrying and converting and marrying. Rather, ve'ilu shechduim nisavu. But the ones, the Ammon and Moav, they caused the Jews to sin. Those are the ones that we never allow them to be in Klal Yisrael. So it's the same question as before. What did they do that was so bad? How is this worse than killing? How can we allow a Mitzri or an Amaleki? A person from Amalek is allowed to convert and marry, but a person from Ammon and Moav is not. So how come Ammon and Moav are treated differently than Amalek and Mitzri? And again, so what's the nature of their flaw? Why aren't they ever allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael? Okay? So we have to get to the idea. So I think the idea I think it's hidden in a Ramban. The Ramban kind of highlights it, and then we have to actually delve into it and explain it a little bit more. So the Ramban says like this, anybody know where Ammon and Moav were from? What was their origin? So the origin was from Lot. So if we look in source number 6, the Ramban says like this, Vanira Eli ki akasav hirchik shnei achim aile shayu gmulei chesed mi'avraham. So the Torah is specifically in this, we're talking about the psukim in Devarim Chaf Gimel, where it tries to exclude various nations from marrying into the Jewish people. It picks out these two, Ammon and Moav, who were bestowed kindness from Avraham. Shehitzel avihem v'imam menachere v'hashvi. Why? Because they were in Sodom. Lot was saved because of Avraham, and they were saved from the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Uvischuso shalcham Hashem mitoch haficha. First, Avraham saved them from the kings, and the other time, because of Avraham, he was saved. Lot was saved from the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. V'hayu chayavin lasos tova im Yisrael. Really, Ammon and Moav, instead of not helping the Jews out and furthermore causing them to sin by hiring Bilaam, they really should have been obligated to do good to the Jews. Why? Because they were saved by Avraham. Vaim asu imam ra, they did the opposite to the Jews. They did evil to them. Ha'echad sachar alav Bilaam ben Beor v'heim ha-Moavim. First, Moav decided to hire Bilaam in order to cause the Jews to sin. Va'echad lo kadam oso balechem v'mayim kasher kirvu lamulo. And the other one, they didn't help the Jews out. They didn't bring out water and lechem and bread to the Jews when they were next to them. Kimosha Kasuv, as it says, Atau verayom eskvu Moav esar v'karafta mo b'nei Amon v'inei akasuv hisirom al titzirim v'al tisgarbam v'heim lo kidmu osam klal ki haya akasuv omer kasher asu l'bnei asav amonim v'amonim aval lo hisgar amon shlo kidmu osam. So the Torah tells us specifically that, and the Ramban highlights this idea, that what's the problem with Amon and Moav? Why are these two nations of Amon and Moav, Moav being the nation of Rus, why were in these nations the men not allowed to marry forever into Klal Yisrael? Because really they came from Lot, and they were saved. Lot was saved because of Avraham, and they really deserved, or they should have given or done differently towards Klal Yisrael. They should have acted differently. They should have been Makir Tov, and they should have helped the Jews instead of trying to cause them to sin. So instead, we punish them as a result, or we don't punish them, but as a result of that, they're not allowed to convert fully and marry into the Jewish people. So again, the same question, who cares? So they came from Lot, and they should have done better with Klal Yisrael. The Mitzrayim should have done better too. You know, a lot of Edom, which is from Esav, should have been better with Klal Yisrael. But we don't say that they're excluded forever from joining and from marrying into Klal Yisrael. So it's the same question, but the Ramban at least gives us a little insight as to where they're from. They're from Avraham, and their kindness was bestowed upon them because of Avraham. But still, why does that exclude them? Why is it that somebody from Amalek can, if they decide to convert and really accept Judaism, why can they marry into Yahadus if they decided, or any other nation? Whereas opposed to, although there's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, but the Ram says you can provide them with, there's a machlokus about that. But nevertheless, any other nation is allowed to marry and convert. Whereas over here, only Amon and Moav are specifically highlighted that they're not allowed to, they're not really allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So what exactly was the problem? Okay, so that's the question over here. And then the Ramban gives the same answer as the Ritva as to how they learn the Gemara, that it's not that the women of Moab didn't go out, because they did go out. The men went out and provided, but it was because they weren't involved in the hiring of Bilaam ben Beor. So it's the same question, same questions as before. Let me just re-ask the questions again. So we're trying to understand the validity of Rus's marriage, and there's a lot riding on it. David's validity as well as riding on it. And we have to understand the basis for the mitzvah, the halacha, the iser, that a man is not allowed to marry into the Jewish nation from Moav and Ammon, but a woman is. So the question based on the Gemara is, what's the difference between a man and a woman? Why don't we just group them as one? And furthermore, what was so bad about what they did that they're forever excluded once they convert into joining, into really marrying into Klal Yisrael? What did they do that was so bad? So they didn't. Well, they weren't Makir Tov. So what? The Mitzrayim were a lot worse. Edom seems like they were a lot worse. Rashi says that Hahorgo is not as bad, but still, that's drush. I mean, it's hard to understand that the Mitzrayim should be allowed to eventually marry a Jewish woman, but an Ammon and Moav are not allowed, because of the fact that they did this to Klal Yisrael. What was so bad about it? Okay, so let's try to... Now I think we have some insight, and I think there's a beautiful idea here that's presented here through these this Gemara and these Rishonim. So let's look at the where did they come from? Where was Ammon and Moav come from? So if you look in source number 7, the whole story is that Lot escaped from Sodom and Amorah, and he ends up being stuck in a cave with his daughters, and they think the daughters believe that the whole world was destroyed. So what do? They hatch a plan to trick Lot into sleeping with them, and they end up having children from Lot. And if we take it up from that point in the story, if you look in source number 7, it says as follows: Vatarena shdei benos Lot me'avihen. So the two daughters of Lot they were conceived and they got pregnant from their father. And then Vateled habichira bein vatekra shemo Moav. So the older one had a child, and she named him Moav, hu avi Moav arayom. And he was the father of the nation of Moav arayom, until this day. So the oldest daughter, her son was Moav, and he was the one who hired and his nation was the one who hired Bilam. V'hatzi'ira gamhi yalada bein v'atekura shemo ben ami hu aviv ne'amon arayom. But the younger one, so she also got pregnant from Lot, and she called him ben ami, and he was the father of Ammon. So the father of these nations, one of them was Moab, and the other one was Ammon. They came from Lot. And Lot, of course, was the brother of Avraham, he was the nephew of Avraham. And Lot was saved in many situations because of Avraham's kindness. And in this situation, Lot ends up impregnating his daughters. He was drunk at the time, and his daughters end up getting pregnant, and Moab and Ammon come from Lot and from this situation. So it's important to know, because I'll show you as we go through the idea, it's important to know where they come from in order to understand why their chet was so bad and why they can never be part of Klal Yisrael fully and they can never integrate fully. So we have to know where they came from. So there's also a little subtle distinction here also. If you look in source number eight, so number eight says like this. In source number eight, it's Varim Parak Beis Pasuk Ches. It says Vanavor. It's a reference to Klal Yisrael when they went by Moab. It says Vanavor Meisachinu Bnei Esav Hayoshvim B'Seir Miderech Arava Meilasu Metzion Gaver Vanefen Vanavor Derech Midbar Moav Vayomer Hashem Elai Al Tatzar Es Moav Al Tiskarbam Milchama Ki Lo Etein Lecha Meratzol Yerusha Ki Livnei Lot Nasati Es Ar Yerusha. Hashem says that when the Jews go by Moab and Ammon as well, but by Moab, they're not allowed to start a war with them and they can't siege them because Lot's the child of Lot, Moab, was guaranteed that land. And the Jews don't have a right to the land, so they're not allowed to fight with Moab. However, if you look in source number 9, Rashi explains it like this. Val Tiskar, Lo Asar Lehem al Moav Ela Milchama. The Jews were not allowed to fight with Moab. Aval Miyarim Hayu Osam. They were allowed to make them scare them. So the Jews scared Moab. V'nirim lahem kishahem mizuyanim. They would go to their border. The Jewish people would go to the border and line up with their army, with their battle gear on, as if they were going to attack them. And they really were allowed to scare Moab. Lefichach ksiv vayagar Moab b'pnei am shayusholim avozim osam. So by Moab, they were allowed to scare them, and they were allowed to take their stuff. They could be sholal boza. They could loot their stuff. Aval b'vnei Ammon, but when it came to Ammon, Namar v'al tiskar bam. The Jews were not allowed to scare Ammon. Shum giroi, why bischart snias imam shlo persima alavia kimosha asasa bechira shekara shem bina Moav. So the reason why Ammon is treated differently than Moav is that Moav was the older one, was the son of the older one, and the older one said me'av, that he came from my, he says avi Moav v'atikrashma Moav. Why? Because he came from my Av, from my father. So she was open about where he came from. Whereas by the Tzira, the younger one, she was Sanua, she was more modest. And she called him Ben Ami. So therefore, as a result, the Jewish people had to act differently towards Ammon than Moav. That by Moav, they could be aggressive, they couldn't fight with them. But by Ammon, they had to show a certain restraint. So again, we have to understand what the difference between Ammon and Moav. Maybe we'll also understand the nature of their chataim. And they came from Lot. So how do we fit everything together? What's the idea behind the prohibition? Why is it relevant where they came from? What's the concept behind the idea of the Jewish people being able to scare Moav and not scare Ammon? How do we explain everything? How do we put everything together? So I think there's an idea here, a deep idea. And I think it's, so I'm going to try a possibility, and then we'll look at source 11 and 12, and then maybe we'll look at the Chinuch as well, because he gives a different idea. So what exactly is the Gemara and all these sources telling us? So I think it's as follows. You see, Ammon and Moab, they really came from Lot, as we explained. And Lot, the Ramban says that Lot was really saved because of the chesed of Avraham, because of Avraham's zechus, his merit. But Lot really came from the philosophy of Avraham, because Lot was a student of Avraham, and he really was exposed to the philosophy of Avraham, much like other nations were. But Lot specifically was exposed to the chesed of Avraham. and the chesed that resulted because of his relationship to Avram, but also he was exposed to the chesed of Avram. And in fact, there are all these mefarshim and rishonim on the Torah that show that Lot really tried to exemplify the philosophy of Avram, but he didn't really, it was a little bit corrupted. It wasn't the same exact philosophy. The chesed of Lot and the philosophy of Lot was not exactly identical to Avram. In fact, Lot succumbed to the pressures of Sodom and Amorah, and he was unsuccessful, and he wasn't independent like Avram, and he lacked the same qualities, but he definitely had a lot of the elements of the philosophy of Avram. And it seems as follows. So what's the concept here? So the concept seems to be that, and the Ramban says, that the problem with Ammon and Moab is that they really should have done good towards the Jews, because they were saved because of the Jews, and they should have been makir tov towards the Jews. So what's the problem, I believe, is that Ammon and Moab, as opposed to the Mitzrayim and the Edom and Esav, Ammon and Moab really, they really do possess certain elements of the philosophy of Avraham. And they came from Lot originally, but on the one hand, they possessed certain elements, but on the other hand, they rejected it, and they weren't able to fully, as a nation, fully accept the principles of Avram Avinu. And those are evident from the sins that they committed against the Jews, because you see that Ammon was unable to really accept the idea of chesed and really inculcate and integrate chesed properly into their national identity. And Moav was even worse. Moav was aggressive towards Klal Yisrael. They understood the philosophy of Klal Yisrael. They understood, they hired Bilam, and Bilam ended up giving the advice to cause them to be involved in Arayas. So they really understood. They were exposed. Both nations were exposed to the philosophy of Judaism, but they both were a corruption of that philosophy. They both lacked the true infiltration and the true, internalization of the philosophy of Avram Avinu. But there was one element that did exist amongst them, and that element that really came from Sarah was Tznias. Because if you go back to the Gemara says as follows. In the very last line of the Gemara, it says, "B'marava Amri v'itema Rav Yitzchak Amar Kra v'yomer Elav v'yesara Ishtecha." That Sarah Imenu, one of her qualities of perfection was her modesty, that she was able to demonstrate a modesty. She was not a public figure. She wouldn't just parade around, but rather when the Malachim were there, she stayed inside and she demonstrated her modesty. And I believe the Gemara over there, without the Marsha, but if you look at Rashi over there, the Gemara seems to be saying that the women of Ammon and Moab possessed that quality. They possessed they didn't have to go out, and they didn't go out because they possessed this idea of modesty, the concept of modesty. So what's the Gemara telling us, and what's the Torah telling us? So the Torah is telling us that really you can't allow a person who's been exposed to the philosophy and rejected it or corrupted it, it's dangerous to allow those people to be part of Klal Yisrael. They can't be able to marry into Klal Yisrael because they really don't come from a position of opposition. See, if a person is opposed to the philosophy and then they accept it, they can really fully change their life and they can really fully have a different lifestyle. But when a person is exposed to the philosophy and there's a corrupted version of it, so that type of person is allowed to convert, but they can't fully be part of Klal Yisrael. But the men possess that. The men lacked in terms of Chesed Shel Avraham. They lacked those basic philosophical principles. But the women, on the other hand, they were able to retain elements of the philosophy of Avram through really Sarah, which was the idea that they demonstrated a modesty. And the modesty is also, you see that by Ammon. So the Torah tells us that by Ammon, that Ammon was named the Tzi'ira. The Tzi'ira, which the younger one, she also possessed the idea of modesty in the sense that she didn't expose, you know, where her son came from. So the idea of modesty was present in the philosophies of Moav and Ammon, even though Moav didn't exemplify it, but Moav also possessed that. You see that from the fact that the women weren't involved in the hiring of Bilam. So the women, that philosophy and that idea was present amongst the women. So the idea the Torah is trying to tell us about Ammon and Moav, why are they so different than the Mitzrayim? Why is it that the Mitzrayim were allowed to convert and marry, whereas the Ammonim and the Moavim were not? And what's the difference between men and women? So I think this answers it. So the difference is that the Mitzrayim, even though they were hard on Klal Yisrael, they came from a totally different philosophy. And they knew it. They were lewd people. They were involved in everything that was usser, that was possibly usser. But a person like that, when they accept Judaism, they can really change their life around completely. But we don't accept people who have a corrupted version of our religion. We can't allow them to marry into the religion because it's too dangerous for Klal Yisrael. Whereas the women, on the other hand, they demonstrated a preservation of a true philosophical idea, which is the idea of Kvoda Bas Melch Pnima. And that idea was present amongst the women of Ammon and Moab, and therefore a woman from Ammon and Moab would be able to accept the Torah philosophy in a full sense because they were able to preserve that concept, that idea. And I think there's a little raya for that, for this concept in the Gemara. Look in source number 11. So I think this is kind of highlights it. If you look in number 11, the Gemara in Yevamos says, again, we're in Yevamos, it says, V'amar Rav Elazar, my dechsev, Rav Elazar said, what does it say, what does it mean when it says, V'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adamah? It says it by Avraham, that I will bless you through all the families on the earth. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Shtei brachos tovos yesh li b'havrich b'cha. There are two blessings that I'm going to attach to you. Rus ha'moavia v'nama ha'amonis. So one was Rus and the other one was Nama. And the Gemara explains in source number 12, in line 2, Rus ha'moavia v'nama ha'amonis. Yatsu mehem malachim unavim. So from Rus and Nama came kings and prophets. Nama imo shel Rechavam. Nama was the mother of Rechavam, who was one of the kings. V'yatsa mimenu Chizkia v'asa v'yoshafat. And Chizkia and Asa and Yoshafat came from Nama. So the two blessings that were attached to Avram, that came from Avram, were really Rus HaMoaviyav and Nama HaAmonis. Why are they attached to Avram? Why? What's the relevance of the Gemara in showing that Rus and Nama were attached to Avram? Because of the fact that they and the women of their nations were able to preserve the philosophy of Avram and really Sarah, but really that was part of that philosophy of Avram as well, but they were really attached to Avram. In other words, they were able to preserve the philosophy enough that it wasn't corrupted and they could really be part of Klal Yisrael in a full sense. So that's what the Torah and the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara is telling us that really the idea is that Ammon and Moab, it's not because their sin was worse than the Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim, you know, killed the Jews. They threw Jews into the river. They killed Jews. So it's not that their sin was worse. And what's the difference between a woman and a man by Ammon and Moab? It's really the idea that of where they came from. They came from an exposure to the philosophy of Avram, but they really corrupted the philosophy of Avram. Whereas the women, we see from the Gemara and also from, you know, from the Gemara and the sources that the women were able to preserve the philosophy of Sarah, which is the idea of Tznias and really the idea of Kol Kvoda Bas Melch Pnima. So Rus, therefore, we see that Rus was allowed to marry into the Jewish nation. She was allowed to marry Boaz, and David was therefore really a good king, and he was valid. But we see from the Gemara that Rus and Naama, they really exemplified the philosophy of Avram, and they were really able to preserve it. Whereas the men from their nation were the opposite. They came from Avram, but they really corrupted the concepts of Avram. They corrupted Chesed Shel Avram. They corrupted, you know, the whole philosophy of Torah. They corrupted, as opposed to the Mitzrayim and the Edom, which had a totally different philosophy. They were just into hedonism. They were into anything that they wanted to, their instincts. Whereas here, this was a corruption, and those types of people can't be married into Klal Yisrael. So one other point, we'll do it outside and then finish the shir. So the Sefer HaChinuch gives a different reason. I'll just say it outside. So he says like this, that the difference between the Mitzrayim and Edom and Ammon and Moab is that Ammon and Moab did acts, you know, two different acts that really were, you know, terrible, heinous things, not to help the Jews out, to hire Bilaam. Whereas the Mitzrayim, they did a lot of small things. They did, they all combined together to be destructive, but there wasn't one act that you can point to that the Mitzrayim did that was particularly heinous, and that's what he wants to say in the Chinuch. So he therefore says that the Torah wanted us to recognize Gemilas Chasadim, and they wanted us to separate us from the heinousness of what the Ammonim and the Moavim did. But I think the Chinuch is highlighting another point. He doesn't say it openly, but I think he's saying that when a person does one, sometimes when a person does something that's so heinous, you get identified by that act. So especially like if you do one thing in your life, but it's really so bad that it becomes part of your identity and you become remembered, the memory of you becomes attached to that act. Whereas if you do a lot of small things, even if they're bad, a lot of times now you don't get identified by any particular act. So perhaps the Chinuch is saying one other possibility, that the Ammon and Moav, because of the nature of their acts, that they were heinous, but they were really exclusive, and they were one big act of disregarding Klal Yisrael. So them, their people, and people that came from them, you can never remove that identity from them. So even though they can convert, it would be impossible to remove the memory of what they were involved in and their relationship to Klal Yisrael. That's something that can never be removed from their identity coming from Ammon and Moav. So therefore, the Chinuch wants to say, I think based on that, that that's why they're prohibited from, even though they're permitted to convert, they're prohibited from marrying, because you can never eliminate the chit from their identities. Whereas by Mitzrayim and Edom, you could. Okay, so I just want to summarize the shir a little quickly. So the shir is basically, we're trying to get some background about Megillus Rus, and we wanted to find out how it was possible that Rus was allowed to marry a Jewish man, Boaz, and allowed to have David, and David was allowed to be king. So we said as follows, that really the Gemara explains that Moav, it's only a male Moav and a male Ammoni that is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. But a female from those nations was. And the difference, the reason the Gemara gives is because, you know, women ain't darchel lekadem. They're not, they don't usually go out and go first. But furthermore, the Gemara says that the philosophy of Sarah was that it's the nature of a modest woman to stay inside, to not be public. So we wanted to understand why their crimes were so bad that the men were always excluded from being Jews or fully and from marrying into Klal Yisrael, and the women were allowed. So we wanted to say in the end of the day that really Ammon and Moav emerged from Avraham, and the Ramban says they came from Avraham and they were saved because of Avraham, but they were really exposed to much of the philosophy of Avraham, and certain elements were adopted, but other elements were rejected and corrupted. And you see the elements that were corrupted were exemplified by the men, and therefore they can never be part of Klal Yisrael because of the fact that they posed a danger to the philosophy of Judaism, because they were a corrupted version of it. Whereas the women were able to preserve the philosophy of Avraham and Sarah, and it was exemplified through their modesty. And that idea, therefore, allow women to fully integrate into the nation completely and really accept the philosophy of Judaism while maintaining the philosophy of Avraham as well. And we saw that from the Gemara in Yevamos, where it says that the two brachos that were attached to Avraham were Rus and Naamah. Why Avraham? Why these two people? Because they really exemplified the philosophy of Avraham as opposed to the men of their nations who weren't able to maintain the philosophy and rather corrupted it. And then we said the Chinuch's idea, which is the idea of identity, that if somebody has an identity that can't be forgotten, and they're always reminded of that when they see the person, it makes it impossible for them to fully assimilate and integrate. So that's why, by Ammon and Moav, they were not allowed to marry into the Jewish nation. Okay, so with that, all that said, being said, so next week we'll probably do a little bit in Rus itself, but with all that being said, hopefully we have a little background before we get to Rus as to understand, you know, the nature of the conversion / marriage of Rus. So everybody have a good Shabbos, and hopefully next week we'll... Thank you.